Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, I'd like to say how awesome it is to see you all here today. Now, I have a question that might sound a little off-putting at first, but I think it's an important question that we need to ask ourselves. And the question is, why are you here? What made you today get up this morning, early, mind you, throw on some clothes, and come over here? Now, I have a couple of ideas why people showed up here, and I just want to see if I got some of these reasons right. Your mother made you come over, right? Now, in my case, it was when I was younger, it was my dad who dragged me out to church each and every week. He woke me out of my nice warm bed, and he'd always get us to sit in our reserved seats in church, which was the left back row. And I mean the furthest row back. You know, those were our seats. And I know that because they had our names on them, or at least that's what my dad said. And that's the first time I ever realized I was Lutheran. Maybe another reason you are here today is that you love donuts. There is something about church coffee and donuts that make a great tailgate for those NFL games on TV, right? I always find it interesting what churches serve for coffee time. One of the churches I had visited when I was on internship in South Minneapolis had all sorts of Scandinavian treats. And I could see why people came back week after week, because I just love their lefse. Now, maybe you came because something inside of you just doesn't feel right if you don't have that time with God. I still remember that first weekend at the University of Iowa. This was the first time I was away from home for a long period of time, and I remember going through the Yellow Pages. Now, kids, just so you know, the Yellow Pages are a limited Google search found in book form. Now, I was looking for churches, Lutheran churches, on a Sunday morning. Now, Dad wasn't dragging me or forcing me to go to church, but I just felt I needed something. I needed to be with God. So as a lot of people were staggering back to the dorms, I was in my Sunday best. Well, it was a button-up shirt, at least. And I headed out to Lutheran Campus Ministry. So there are a lot of different possible reasons we came to church today, and I just had listed a small few. Now, this might sound a little outrageous at first, but I think it's true that the reason you came here today will really influence how you look at your time here in worship. It got me wondering, why do we do this thing on Sunday anyway? Why do we come to worship, or maybe why don't other people come to worship? So it got me to dive a little deeper into why God has us do this thing called church. And believe it or not, our first lesson gives us a better idea of how we should view worship. And I wonder if today's message might make all of us think about worship a little differently. So this week we're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy. So we're going to be on page 142. If you're using your Bible apps, Deuteronomy 5, verse 6. Again, that's all found on page 142. And as you're getting there, let me give you a little background. Now, Moses was the chief author of this book. This was his swan song because he was dying. Moses wanted to give the people who had helped lead out of Egypt and watered through the wilderness for 40 years, he wanted to leave them with some final instructions, if not a final plea. His faith was very important to him, and he was really trying to pass this faith on to the rest of the people. One of the biggest things in all the Bible, as you may or may not know, is the Ten Commandments. It was those laws that God gave to God's people after they had left Egypt so they would have some basis on how to form their society. Because believe it or not, these rules or commandments were designed with us living in community. And if you're taking notes, I'd like you to answer the first question on your worship notes. And the Ten Commandments take the emphasis, and it should be off instead of on, off of me, and instead puts the emphasis on we. The Ten Commandments take the emphasis off me, and instead put the emphasis on we. And as we look at these rules or guidelines that God has given us, we need to be reminded that they were put into society, were put into a society that didn't have rules or guidelines, because they'd never been a country before. So the Ten Commandments were designed to give our Jewish brothers and sisters a guide for how to be in relationship with God and one another, So let's start in verse 6, because I think there is something we need to hear before we begin to look at the Ten Commandments. So here's verse 6. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Notice what God isn't saying at this point. God isn't saying, hey, you meatheads, you better listen to me. God isn't saying, I want to make your life miserable, so I'm going to come up with some very unfair and unfun rules. No, God tells the people, I am the God that leads you to freedom. I am the one who frees you from the chains of bondage. To many of us seated here today, it might sound very ironic that God is prefacing the Ten Commandments with freedom. But believe it or not, the Ten Commandments are about freedom. This might sound odd at first, but look at it this way. If I was to give us a ball and say, okay, we're going to have an area that you need to score in, and then gave you no rules, it would be very hard to play the game, right? We wouldn't know if we would be doing things right. And a lot of us would probably end up hurt because we wouldn't know how to move the ball, what equipment we should be using, or how physical we should be with each other for getting the ball. No rules is a recipe for disaster. The Ten Commandments gives us freedom because they give us a guideline on how to live. Now I'd like us to jump down to verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You or your son or daughter, your male or female slave, or your ox or donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that. You were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from here with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Sabbath day. I know that's a pretty churchy word, but what it really means is a day of rest when we worship God. For us as Christians, which day of the week is our Sabbath? There we go. But believe it or not, Sunday is not my Sabbath. It's my work day. So my Sabbath day is Monday. So as we look through this commandment, God is commanding us not to work every day of the week. Why do you think so? I mean, we need to watch the Packers or Vikings, right? So God put aside a day for that. Well, actually, God put aside one day for us to rest because it reminds us that we are not God. This rest day or Sabbath day is important because we begin to realize that we are not in control over everything and everyone in our lives. God is. The Sabbath day or rest day reminds us that our blessings, God's love, Jesus dying on the cross for us is a free gift. We didn't earn it. And we can't work hard enough for it. And we don't have to stress out about that. To remind us of this fact, on the Sabbath, we are supposed to have worship. And this is the answer to the second question on your worship notes. Worship is about freedom. Worship is about freedom. Have you ever thought about worship here today like that? Worship is being freedom. Worship reminds us of that all those things that chain us down, our worry, our anxiety, our jobs, drugs, alcohol, have no real power over us when we remember the freedom we receive from God, who is all about setting people free. Is that what you thought of when you came to worship today? Freedom from the toxins of this life? Freedom to remember that we can make a difference in other people's lives? Freedom to know that despite the failures in our past, that God helps us to get up and try again and again. Worship is designed for freedom. Now here's the answer to that last question on your worship notes. Worship is about remembering whose we are. Worship is about remembering whose we are. Because that's what worship is about, remembrance. Let me give you some examples. The cross reminds us that we are freed from our sins, that Jesus sacrificed on the cross for us. The baptismal font reminds us of God's promises, that we are God's children, and that nothing Nothing can separate us from God's love. Communion reminds us that Jesus goes with us into our daily lives and redeems us despite all those doggone mistakes we make. Communion also reminds us that we are not defined by those mistakes, but by God's grace. And even in the shape of the sanctuary, look up. There's a reason why the sanctuary is shaped this way. It reminds us of an inverted ship. And this inverted ship reminds all of us that we as a community are on a journey of faith together. Worship is about freedom. We should be excited to come to worship each and every week. It's like a party. Right? We should be excited to know that the chains that weigh us down each week are not permanent, but they can be removed. So I ask you this week, what would make church more exciting for you this week? What could we do that would make you feel this excitement about freedom in your life? And I want you to let me know, or anybody on the worship committee know. You never know how we might start doing what you suggest each and every week. Or it could be every now and again. Worship was meant to remind us of the freedom that God gives to each one of us. So let us be a community of faith that takes this worship and amplifies it to the meaning that we really should be excited for each and every week. Worship is awesome. Worship is about freedom. Amen.